Good Sunday morning to you. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. I'm Kate Doherty with my co-host Keely Reger. How you doing this morning, Keely?
Good morning, Kate. I am doing well, thank you, and excited to be here. Excited about our guest today.
Yeah, so this morning we are going to be talking with Dr. Kishore Velodi. And I have to tell everyone listening, he is probably one of my favorite people on the planet. And I will tell you that we have given him a cowboy hat that next year, when he comes to visit the tri-state area, I fully expect, Kishore, for you to have this cowboy hat on when you come to the tri-states for Down Country's birthday party next September.
I think that goes without saying.
Yeah. All right. So, Kishore, we're going to start a little bit. I'm going to throw him under the bus, you guys, this morning, because I think his story is so fantastic, because you have a really unique reason why you ended up in the whole medical field. How about you tell us your story a little bit?
Sure, I'm happy to. Yeah, so for me, I was born into the Down syndrome community, very literally. My older brother has Down syndrome, and he was... when he was born in the 1970s, my parents really didn't have very much in terms of any type of support. There certainly was no Down Country or any of the kind of support organizations that were immediately available to them. And so, you know, when he was born, they still, even to this day, will recall how alone and abandoned they felt because there was just nobody there, medical or otherwise, to help them out. And so, so for me, when I was born a couple of years later, I just didn't know anything. It was different. Mm-hmm. My brother's name is Das. You can find brief snippets of our story on different blogs that I've set up and things like that. He's always just been my big brother, and mm-hmm. it really wasn't until I was probably 8 or 9 when some other kid pointed out the fact that he was different. I said, "Really?" I just kind of thought he was a big brother. So I went and I asked my mom. I said, "You know, what's the deal? You know, why do they say he was different?" And, you know, we went into this whole thing about chromosomes and all this other stuff that I didn't really understand at that point. But I kind of knew it as time passed, as I got older, that working to help people who needed just a little bit extra help, that was going to be my goal. And I thought maybe as a teacher or something like that, but then medicine really got me when I was in college. I really got excited about going into that. And so I went into the medical field and went into pediatrics really because of him. And in 2009, through a series of different circumstances, they were looking for someone to direct our Down syndrome center here, our medical center here at Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh, where I ended up. And so that's what I started doing. And things have just rolled from there, and I couldn't be happier because it really is a way for me to give back to my brother in a way that I never could have otherwise.
Well, and how old is your brother now? You're only a couple years apart, so I'm kind of outing your age as well.
You
my
are.
Apologies.
Hey, listen, and I'm okay. Now that I'm old, I'm okay with sharing my age, too. No, so my brother is 42. He just turned 42 in March.
Yeah, and you guys are still exceptionally close.
Unbelievably close, to the point that, you know, when we talk on the phone, my wife will, you know, point to the watch because it's going
long.
And going
yeah.
and going. But we just love to talk, and I think my whole personality really... I know, as you know, Kate, from mm-hmm. Our board meetings on NDSC, I tend to have a little bit of a silliness about me, and that's all because of him. You know, mm-hmm. he's just always the guy that I could try out my stand-up comedy on, and he would laugh. And so, mm-hmm. so for me, you know, my whole personality, really, both good and bad, I guess, comes from the fact that you know, he's just always been the most inviting and supporting guy. And so, yeah, we're always on the phone, always talking.
You know, I have to tell you, like, I love it when you talk about your brother, and I love seeing how close you are, simply because, because I have Elliot and Ella, and they're, you know, a year apart, and they, you know, Ella very similarly lived this past year, just almost to a T, you know, said, "What do they mean? You know, like, if they,
yeah.
what's
mm-hmm.
that mean?" And she's like, "It's pretty cool to have Down syndrome. How come I didn't get it, Mom?"
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was,
right.
I think that has to do with a kind of perspective, and they are so close, and I love it. And it makes my heart happy. And then when I see the relationship you and your brother have, it makes my heart even happier. So, I think those are great things, which reminds me, congratulations, you ladies and gentlemen. We are speaking to the president of the or the newly elected president of the National Down Syndrome Congress. Every 3 years, the Congress elects a new president, and I now get to call Keyshore Mr. President.
Oh, my goodness.
How do you like the ring about that?
But, yeah, it is quite an honor, and I am so pleased to be able to serve this organization that does so much for people all over the world. And so, yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah, and Keyshore, one of the things we've talked on this show quite a bit, because we use the Congress to vet all of our iLearn recipients and to get our families. They're very excited about that. But in conjunction with the National Down Syndrome Congress, of which you're president of, you're also extremely active with the Down Syndrome Medical Interest Group, which is called DSMIG, which is a professional organization that meets at the same time as the Congress. Can you, I just for our listeners, can you kind of explain what that is?
Yeah, so probably it was in the late 80s, if not early 90s, where people who were running or working in Down syndrome clinics, either as physicians or coordinators or nurses or therapists or whatever, they were working in isolated pockets, and they said, you know, we should get together and share notes and mm-hmm. talk about how we can more standardize and improve the care for people with Down syndrome. And so they started to meet, and initially, I don't believe it was called the Down Syndrome Medical Interest Group. I forget exactly what the initial term was, but that idea of getting people from all over the country together to talk about, hey, have you ever seen anything like this before? Yeah, I've seen that too. You know, maybe we should change our screening guidelines and things like that. And as time passed, it's grown significantly. The group, you're right, we meet at the National Down Syndrome Congress Convention, and it's a member-only group for people who are professionals that take care of kids with Down syndrome, or adults, actually, with Down syndrome as well. And we just we have people come and they speak and they share their knowledge, but we also just have times where we sit around and say, have you guys ever seen anything like this before? And share knowledge that way so that we can grow and improve in how we work. And the other thing that this medical interest group allows us to do is if somebody says, hey, I'm starting a study, but I need more patients and we don't have enough patients in our clinic to be able to make this study useful, we can then say, well, I've got 500 patients I see a year. You want me to tell them about your study? And so it allows the studies to be larger so that the impact can be more beneficial for people with Down syndrome to say, oh, I gave this medication or this therapy trial to 10 people is, well, that's okay. But to say I gave it to 1,000 and they all got better, well, that's a lot stronger of a study. So it allows us to really collaborate well. So, yeah, it's a real honor to be a part of that group as well. Really some very bright people in the country that are working with our folks. And I think that's great to see all of us pooling our knowledge that way. Yeah.
Well, we actually were really excited year before last when the convention was in Orlando. Shaka Batley, who is a nurse practitioner with Quincy Medical Group, is an iLearn recipient. And actually, we were delighted because she actually attended DSMIG with you. And that was really fabulous for her to be able to bring that information back. I know it's already helped a lot of families right here in the tri-state. So I hope actually for Dallas that we get to bring a few more, either nurse practitioners or doctors from the tri-state area with us, because we certainly would love to have that all that information and knowledge and to be part of that. We're really grateful to you guys.
For any professionals that are listening to the radio show, it's a membership that's open for anyone who works as a professional in this area. So they can go to the DSMIG USA website if they just Google search DSMIG USA, because there's another DSMIG in Europe, which of course is a different group. But if they do the DSMIG USA, DSMIG USA, they can find out how they can be a part of that group.
Oh, wow. So do you guys ever correspond with the other DSMIG, you know, the other countries?
Yes, definitely. In fact, I should have mentioned, too, our DSMIG group is no longer just national within the borders. We have people who come in from all over to be a part of our DSMIG USA meeting that we have every year at the convention. So we do also correspond with the group in Europe. And in fact, they share their invitations for their meetings and we share our invitations for our meetings with them. And so there is definitely collaboration around the world between the two groups.
I love that.
Yeah.
It's one of the most awesome benefits of of just the Congress and Disney in total. And I can't believe this. We will be right back because we're already coming to the close of our first segment. And we're with Dr. Kishore Velodi, and we're so delighted. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be right back. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. Happy Sunday.
Calling all self-advocates, family members, and professionals who are interested in applying for Downcountry scholarships. Go to upatdowncountry.com for more information and to obtain a scholarship application. Still have questions? Call 217-617-3568, and Kate Doherty will guide you through the process. Don't delay. This is an amazing opportunity to gain access to national and international conferences to further your knowledge and receive CEUs. Visit upatdowncountry.com today.
Don't you think it's time for a financial advisor who takes time to explain things? Brad Kurz, your local Edward Jones financial advisor, does. Investing can seem complicated. That's why he takes time to listen, understands your needs, and explains without jargon. Experience the Edward Jones difference. Contact Brad today, 573-221-1302. That's 221-1302. Making time to take time. That's how Edward Jones makes sense of investing. Edward Jones, member SIPC.
Don't miss the Crown and Sash Dash coming up Saturday, November 18th, 9 a.m. at Flower City Park in Palmyra, Missouri. It's a 5K runner walk, $25 per person, with 100% of the profits supporting Children's Miracle Network. Registration at 8 a.m. Race begins at 9 a.m. sharp, four age groups for men and women. Again, it's the Crown and Sash Dash, Saturday, November 18th. That's Flower City Park, Palmyra, Missouri. Just search Crown and Sash Dash for more info and to get registered.
Welcome back. It's Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. And I'm Kate Doherty with co-host Keely Rager, and we had a great first segment. We're talking with Dr. Kishore Velodi, who is the director of the Children's Hospital in, the Down Syndrome Children's Clinic at Pittsburgh Children's Hospital. Did I get the title right, Kishore?
It's close. Down Syndrome Center.
Okay.
At the Children's Hospital of Pittsburgh.
All right. Thank you so much. And the newly elected president of the National Down Syndrome Congress. However, while we were on break, we were talking. So October, for those of you who don't know, is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. However, October is also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. And we'll put a big shout out there to Hashtag Run for Melinda this morning.
A big shout because I'm training for a half marathon for her. So
Melinda was actually two of our founding members of Down Country this past year, Kishore, were both diagnosed with breast cancer and have had to undergo double mastectomies. So anyway, October, you know, we're celebrating.
A big month.
Yeah, we're celebrating Down syndrome, but, you know, we're ready to get rid of that cancer diagnosis. But for our listeners, when we were on break, I just kind of wanted Kishore to highlight some. A lot of people aren't aware of the cancer and Down syndrome connection. So, Kishore, I'm going to let you speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think when people think about Down syndrome and they think about cancer, they're thinking about leukemia, which in children, you know, who are younger, usually those under five, definitely under 10, that's the biggest risk in terms of cancer is in that age range for people with Down syndrome. And but it's still exceedingly rare. It's one of those things where it's on the order of maybe 1% at most would potentially have a diagnosis of leukemia. But then the thing that people really don't know about, which I find fascinating, and I think researchers find even more fascinating than me, is the fact that for whatever reason, people with Down syndrome don't seem to get solid organ tumors at the same rate as other people do. So, for example, lung cancer, brain cancer, liver cancer, intestinal cancers, you name the organ that other people might have a higher incidence of having cancer in, people with Down syndrome just don't seem to have that. Mm-hmm. And we don't know why. Obviously, there's something on the 21st chromosome that when you make more of it, gives you less of a chance of these types of solid organ tumors. It doesn't mean the risk is zero, but my goodness, if you look at the tables and you see people with Down syndrome, people without Down syndrome, the chances of having one of those solid organ tumors is much, much less. So what researchers are trying to do is figure out, well, what is it about, or what is the gene that we can perhaps find on that 21st chromosome where maybe we could give it to people who don't have Down syndrome, where it might reduce or perhaps even treat, who knows, cancer. Mm-hmm. And like we were talking about on the break, you know, a lot of researchers will say things like, people are going to one day thank people with Down syndrome, because the research that could potentially come out of this 21st chromosome that might actually be what we call oncoprotective or cancer protective for other people. I think it's really fascinating.
It is fascinating.
I do, yeah. And I very grateful for that research. I mean, I just think that's extremely valuable. And you know what? The other thing, ladies and gentlemen, we were talking about on break is we love listening to Kishore and how amazingly positive he is. And also just, I mean, Kishore's relationship with his brother, with his family is truly beautiful. And I personally love and appreciate his passion for his work. But one of the things he's equally passionate about is delivering a diagnosis. And I have to be honest, on a personal level, I've always felt so incredibly blessed that I got to have a good delivery diagnosis. The way Down syndrome was explained to me when we said, well, what is it? What does that really mean? They said, well, your child was born with an extra chromosome, and anything that you and I may or may not have, your child may or may not have, just at a higher propensity or perhaps a lower propensity than a typical child would. And so, quite frankly, and the example they used was, your child may have a higher propensity of vision problems. And I said, well, I'm legally blind without my contacts in. And they said, well, he's more like you than different, so he's probably going to have some vision issues. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean,
right.
I just thought that was, it was great. Once I knew that, then I was pretty well good to go. And yet now, 9 years down the road, I've heard literally hundreds of women tell their story, and unfortunately, that's just not the case with most.
So when you're delivering the diagnosis, what approach? Because I think approach is huge when you're talking to people, and just your positive attitude that you exude. Just get laid out for us. What's the best approach when talking to someone?
Yeah, so I think the challenge that we run into is it's honestly because of the training model that we have set. I can speak specifically to medical school, and I'm sure, you know, they similar things might be set in PA and NP schools too, which is the focus is so much on genetic disorders and genetic conditions and these types of things, where the students are then taught to learn a list of problems that could potentially occur. Mm-hmm. So that what happens when they have now a family in front of them, a new mom, new dad, they have to share unexpected news with them. Suddenly they default back to this medical kind of terminology. Mm-hmm. So instead of saying, "Oh, congratulations on your baby," they'll say more like, "Oh, I'm so sorry to have to tell you this, but your child has a genetic disorder." Mm-hmm. And then they'll go through the list of things that could potentially go wrong.
That may or may not. Mm-hmm.
Yes, exactly. And as we were again talking about on the break, we had a busy break, didn't we?
We did, didn't we?
But we don't do that in other children, right? We don't do that when somebody has a new baby, and let's say this baby doesn't have any known conditions at all, doesn't have Down syndrome, anything like that. We don't go through the list of thousands of things that could potentially happen. Oh, your child might have a stroke one day. You know, we don't do that.
Or your child's going to become a drug addict. Your child's going to rob a bank. You know, your child's going to, you know, yell at a teacher in sixth grade. Your child's going, you don't know any of those things, so you don't tell any of those things.
Exactly. And so what we do, you know, here at the University of Pittsburgh at the School of Medicine, we have a specific time where we talk with the med students, and we also have time where we talk with our pediatric residents as well to prepare them with how exactly, what is it that families want? What is it that mothers want? And there's been some great studies that have come out over the last 10 or 15 years that have shown, when you interview moms who have gotten the diagnosis of Down syndrome, what are the things that went well? What are the things they wish they could have done differently? And then they lay it out with kind of here's the approach you want to take. Offer congratulations to the family. Don't focus on all the negatives. Give them the information that they need right now, but you don't have to say, talk about, for example, Alzheimer's disease, which is an adult onset problem for some people with Down syndrome. Like, that's not something you needed to be talking about in the newborn period. You know, how do we, and the approach becoming more, how would you want, you know, your sister or your mom to be told of a new diagnosis, as opposed to what are the medical things that we need to talk about right now? Because there's a time and a place for medical things, and it's probably not right then and there at the beginning. Right then and there is more of the I'm going to tell you something that's unexpected, and any emotion that you might have is completely okay. I think validating the emotion is so important. You know, some families that I meet, the moms say, oh, that's, you know, my uncle had Down syndrome. Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah.
Sure.
And some families I meet, the arms go up, the tears come flying, you can't be right, this isn't, you know, and validating both of those extremes is so important. I can understand why you're feeling that way. It's normal, it's okay. And I think that's important. More important than any of the medical information we might have is to be able to meet a family emotionally where they're at, mm-hmm. and then grow with them as time passes. And so, yeah, that's a real passion of mine. The thing that's changing now, as you know, is probably, you know, over the next 5 to 10 years, even more, is the prenatal diagnoses are going to be on the rise, because it's become a lot easier now to make a prenatal diagnosis than it was 15 years ago, for example. And so a lot of the diagnosis is now having to be given through OB providers, mm-hmm. as opposed to pediatric providers. And so how do we, typically it's been pediatricians who have done the training and the research on how to deliver a diagnosis of Down syndrome, how do we get that information into the hands of the people who are giving it now? And that's definitely something that is an active area that needs to be even more active. How do we make that information out there more easily for these providers who are now giving the diagnosis prenatally more often than postnatally?
And Kishore, that is, it's vital. And actually, I want to hit on this again when we come back from this break. Ladies and gentlemen, this is hashtag everyone talking about hashtag everything. We'll be right back.
Branching Out LLC, a premier lawn and landscaping service that can meet all your residential and commercial needs. Regardless of the season, Branching Out offers a service for maintenance-free outside living. Branching Out takes the time to listen to your needs and ensure it's done correctly the first time. If you're not satisfied, Branching Out is not satisfied. To contact Branching Out, call 573-501-0760 or visit them at www.branchingoutllc.com.
I learn, I speak, I care. Hashtag every child. Down country, because every child is a gift. Every child can learn, and every child learns differently. Up at downcountry.com. Up at downcountry.com or call 217-617-3568, 217-617-3568, or visit Down Country on Facebook or Twitter. Hashtag every child.
Saturday, October 28th, the Mount Olivet Methodist Church in Taylor, Missouri is having their annual Lord's Acre Sale. At 11 a.m., we serve all the turkey and trimmings a person could ask for, plus dessert for a goodwill offering. Starting promptly at 12:30 is our auction that has many homemade items, including crafts, pictures, jewelry, and food. Please plan on attending.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Hashtag Everyone talking about Hashtag Everything. We're here with Dr. Kishore Velotti, and he just finished up talking about, the cancer and Down syndrome connection. He talked about the importance of delivering a diagnosis and actually the importance of getting... getting it into the hands now that we're doing these screenings and
the prenatal screenings.
Yeah, the prenatal screenings and how to properly handle that. So Kishore, please, I think that's vitally important. We had David Tollison on, the executive director, talking about kind of the Iceland situation. And anyway, please tell us some of the issues with this.
Yeah. So, you know, as we were saying, now that the delivery of the diagnosis is shifting over the next several years, it'll shift even more into the hands of OB providers because of the prenatal diagnoses that are going to be made more frequently, more likely as time passes. Gosh, it's so important for them to be able to know about Down syndrome. And mm-hmm. if you think about it, if you're an obstetrician, most likely the only thing you know about Down syndrome is when the baby comes out. Unless you have a family member, you may not see another person with Down syndrome really for the rest of your kind of medical career. And so for them then to know what are people with Down syndrome capable of doing today, that information may not be there. And so one of the pushes for us from a national perspective at the NDSC was to get that information into their hands. And so we, along with the Global Down Syndrome Foundation, put together a prenatal information packet for families. So the OB providers can say, you know, it seems that your baby has a high chance, your baby inside has a high chance of having Down syndrome. Here's information about Down syndrome from a national organization. And I think that will hopefully have an impact on those individual families as well. And then meanwhile, people like me, people who do this work for children and young adults and even adults with Down syndrome, we need to be able to get even on the ground to these providers and be able to share with them about Down syndrome. And I think also family members also have a huge role in this too, because where OBs are going to learn, where you know the providers, the midwives are going to learn about Down syndrome is a lot of times at the grocery store, at the baseball game, in the community.
Absolutely.
Where they're going to interact with people with Down syndrome informally. And I think that's where us as family members can really make an impact in terms of showing what people with Down syndrome are doing today. I think that's an important part of this as well.
Well, and any time that you have that prenatal screening, and in light of the Iceland article that came out, I think the education piece for the doctors, the OBs, is crucial. I think their ability to not only understand Down syndrome, and also I think their approach and what they take and what they say to expecting moms, because, mm-hmm. you know, as they are thinking about moving forward and what their decisions will be, a positive is an amazing thing to have. And I think when you spoke of how you speak to people and meeting them where they're at and letting them have those emotions, but then you're also offering, here's some information, why don't you check it out? But also, if that OB is educated, oh, that's a powerful thing, because they can start it right there in the office.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I agree completely. I think the literature that's come out of the OB world has shown that very much they don't feel prepared all the time to mm-hmm. deliver this diagnosis. And because of that, they tend to have an overly negative and overly steering towards termination than perhaps they otherwise would have had they had more information. And so we always say at NDSC, I always say here, my own personal beliefs, I'm pro-life, pro-choice, doesn't matter. What matters is that when I meet with a family, I have to remember to be pro Down syndrome, because I feel like people, if they knew what Down syndrome was, I think many times their decision might be different than what it ended up being. And so I think it's so important. Information is crucial for our families, even during prenatal visits, especially during prenatal visits, for them to know what Down syndrome really means. And
agreed.
I think that's something that we could do a lot better.
Yeah. I think I speak for Keely and myself. I feel like that extra chromosome has been the biggest blessing in our lives.
Amen.
You know,
yeah.
And the relationships that Keely's kids have with my kids, and you know, our other friends, and you know, actually, the older the kids get, and watching those relationships develop and their passions develop, it really touches my heart and my soul to see the beauty in that as they learn and grow together. I mean, it's every child, and it's cool.
Yeah,
I love it. So
I agree.
I think if we can get that positive out there, I think if more people knew what life was really like, it'd change a lot of things. So, and I can't believe it, but we're coming to the close of this segment of Hashtag Everyone, talking about Hashtag Everything. We're going to have to see if we can get Dr. Velotti back at some point in time. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, you have a blessed Sunday. This is Kate Doherty and Keely Rager with Dr. Kishore Velotti. Hashtag Every Child. Have a great Sunday.
Every day, don't you know I find, lose your dreams, lose your mind.
Saturday, October 28th, the Mount Olivet Methodist Church in Taylor, Missouri is having their annual Lord's Acre Sale. At 11 a.m., we serve all the turkey and trimmings a person could ask for, plus dessert for a goodwill offering. Starting promptly at 12:30 is our auction that has many homemade items, including crafts, pictures, jewelry, and food. Please plan on attending.
Don't miss the Crown and Sash Dash coming up Saturday, November 18th, 9 a.m. at Flower City Park in Palmyra, Missouri. It's a 5K run or walk, $25 per person, with 100% of the profits supporting Children's Miracle Network. Registration at 8 a.m. Race begins at 9 a.m. sharp. Four age groups for men and women. Again, it's the Crown and Sash Dash, Saturday, November 18th. That's Flower City Park, Palmyra, Missouri. Just search Crown and Sash Dash for more info and to get registered.